arkadaşlar. Hare Krishna. This is my first time, so please right from the beginning I'm asking forgive me all my offenses. I'm trying to stick to what Prabhupada has said in the purports rather than doing some more research on that, because first understanding that itself is a big thing for me. So we are continuing the birth of Emperor Parikshit, and today in fact he's born there with this verse which we are going to start, the first verse. And before that, let's recite the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Srimatam Swakata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hi Abhadrani Vidunoti Sahasadam Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Krupatam Aham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pachatya Deshatarine. Hare Krishna. So the first verse, I need your help in that meter. Let's Tata sarva gunodarke sanukula grahodaye jajne vamsadhara pandu bhuya pandu ivajasa. Thereupon, when all the good signs of the zodiac gradually evolved, the heir apparent of Pandu, who would be exactly like him in prowess, took birth. So now Maharaj Parikshit has taken birth in the dynasty of Pandu, to which the Pandavas and the Yudhishthira they belong to. A couple of points which Prabhupada is making here about the good signs and the prowess of Pandu, and why the constellations at the time of his birth, and what does it mean. So very interesting points. One is astronomical calculations of stellar influences upon living being are not suppositions. And I used to believe that way. I mean, that is some fake science kind of thing. But here Prabhupada is saying they are not suppositions, but they are factual. Every living being is actually controlled by the laws of nature every minute, which some of the things we can observe, some of the things we cannot observe. So, because the material, these planetary or the stellar influences are not grossly observed. They are subtle to your thing. So, and not only that, actually at some point he says, in the second point he says, every part of our body is influenced by the respective stars. It used to be very hard to believe as a person getting affected. Now, Prabhupada is saying every part of our body is actually influenced. So in the same second paragraph you see that it's a great science, and misuse of a science does not make it useless. So that basically saying the knowledge is lost. How to use that and to represent correctly what the stellar in the influences of these constellations, that thing is all lost. So just because you see the examples where it didn't work or don't trust, it doesn't mean it's useless. So, and also here there's something about the actions and reactions here. Prabhupada says basically we get this body because of the actions and what we performed, and this is all judged by the higher authorities, and they give you a body according to your activities, and it also has the influence on the when you are born, the as a constellation, what do you call it? the stellar, what is the planetary influences, all also decide your personality. But in case of great personalities or personality of Godhead, like Lord Sri Krishna, when they come into this world, it's auspicious, and that's what called Jayanti. And we, Radha Krishna Prabhu, was also saying, stressed on this point, that this word cannot be abused for any other purposes. Like when we use for people who are born for a material, made their life as a, all this material life as a main goal, this world's, like one example we call Gandhi Jayanti and some other Jayanti. So he said you should not be using that word so lightly. This is meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his immediate associates who come to deliver the souls here. So do not use that word so lightly. And also, like Maharaj Parikshit was a great Kshatriya emperor, but also a great devotee of the Lord. So this is another point, why the whole thing is like so auspicious, because he is a great devotee of the Lord, and is also going to be the great Kshatriya emperor. So he's a devotee, and Kshatriya is like a, what the word is, saintly king, right? Like we have Brahmanas, by definition they have to be saintly. Now Kshatriya's passion, but again the word is saintly here. So this is because that's what the predecessors are. Pandavas are surrendered souls to Lord Sri Krishna, and so as his predecessors, going up to the Ikshvaku, everybody directly associated with either Lord Ram or Lord Sri Krishna, but they are devotees of the Lord. So that's the lineage of the into which Maharaj Parikshit actually is going to come. So that is, you cannot take birth at any inauspicious moment, no matter what the calculations and all this thing, when he's born, that everything has to be right, perfect. So basically a suitable Lord has is also selected by the Lord. It comes in later purports. All these things are decided by the Lord himself, right? So a suitable moment is chosen when all the good stars assemble together to exert their influence upon the king. I can see. Is it blurred here so much? And he's also the great hero of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you see, I know we all seen movies, when the hero is introduced, everything like catches your attention. So now the hero of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually born, so everything has to be perfect. Everything, signs have to be perfect, and there has to be Brahmanas around him, and the great kings around him. So that's what it says, he's the great hero of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, yeah. So in our Sanatana Dharma, the man's eternal engagement, there are purificatory processes defined for higher castes in that time, which are performed by qualified Brahmanas. And by performing this, you will get intelligent class of men in the human society, and there will be peace and prosperity because of that good, sane population. Because when you are, there is a linkage for everything, why we need to do all these things, what happens, there are much more details on these aspects, but I have not done any research on that, except what Prabhupada said, there is a, when you are born, there is a samskara, when you are actually just touch the ground, when that there is one samskara, then when you are married, there is a samskara, there is also when you take diksha from the guru, that's also a samskara, so various things we perform, these are all purificatory processes. So one has to go through, and they have beneficial things for not only for you, for your previous generations and the coming generations. And the very purpose of coming into this is not to stay here, to do the spiritual enlightenment. So what is that? Your goal is to go back to Godhead. So in order to go there, in order to reduce the material influences on the body, because now we heard that all the things around us are influencing us, but we don't know. So in such a case, we need to go through these purificatory processes. And this was not, he says, is it possible in this age? We'll see that in a couple of purports ahead. Basically, the hell and disturbance, is which is what we have, is because of the unwanted, insane populace addicted to sex indulgence. And a couple of these things, Arjuna asked in his very beginning, that if he does this thing, he will be the cause for all this kind of population. But here, that's the reason this, some of what saying, for people who are born, all these purificatory processes, if they are performed correctly, it will have good influence. Tasya prita mana raja viprai dhaumya krupadivihi jatakam karayamasa vachayitvacha mangalam. King Yudhishthira, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned Brahmanas, headed by Dhaumya and Kripa, recited auspicious hymns. So we are talking about, first of all, the process has to be done, and they should be qualified Brahmanas, Dhaumya and Kripa, and they know how to use the right hymns for the right occasion. So we'll see that. So there is a need for good and intelligent class of Brahmanas who are expert in performing the purificatory processes, like expert Brahmanas like Dhaumya and Kripa. It's not only for the spiritual upliftment, it's only actually for spiritual upliftment. That's what Prabhupada wants to say that. Again, people may get that purificatory processes and karmakanda, then they say, oh, this is all for beneficial for the material body. He's saying, no, it's not for that. It's for spiritual upliftment. And it's never conditioned with a higher or lower parentage. Again, he's giving, making it very clear here, because the previous word he said it's meant for higher class of men. But here again he's saying it's meant for the, not for the physical caste or race you born into, but it is for spiritual upliftment, which is associated with the soul directly. Nothing to do with the body. And he's also making the point such brahmanas are not only rare, but not available in this age. So for the purpose of this spiritual upliftment in this age, the Goswamis actually prefer whatever the under specified under Pancharatrika Ratrika formulas than to the Vedic rites. So that is a devotional service. Narada introduced that Pancharatrika system. So devotional service and it's further simplified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the only one. So we keep whatever we are doing, all our sadhana, our chanting and our reading the scriptures, staying with the sadhus and also being in the sangha, like the association of devotees. All this is actually part of those activities. We don't need to sit and in one place and do what was happening, what was prescribed in the old times, and can we do that and get dejected? We cannot do that anymore. So we don't need to worry about that. And this is a discount we got here. And so the great administrators, kings and emperors were always under the guidance of learned Brahmanas like Kripacharya, and thus were able to act properly in the discharge of political responsibilities. So there are a couple of points which now this leads to, because he's a saintly king. So the importance of a king being saintly and devotional service and a devotee of the Lord, and why it is important to the society, and why it is important to the people in before and after and for him, all those things will be touched upon in the coming purports. But here, Maharaja, why this point was made is Kripacharya, if you know, Kripacharya was instrumental in killing Maharaj Parikshit's father, Abhimanyu. So how come Kripacharya was there when Maharaj Parikshit was born? So they are essentially saying there is a duty which everybody has to perform. That was a war. In the war, everybody has to play a role. After the war, Kripacharya's role is back to spiritual master, the guru, which he was before the war too, when Pandavas were exiled to the forest, and actually King Dhritarashtra entrusts Kripacharya to be their spiritual guide when they are in the... So Kripacharya was always the spiritual master or the guru or the guiding counselor for Pandavas. So, but in the war, he took the side of Kauravas and he fought against, and he actually killed, he was instrumental in killing Abhimanyu. So just to say that the saintly king means they go through all these things, but they take it everything as part of the Lord's plan. They don't take Kripacharya as somebody, oh, how can you be here kind of thing. And this is specifically true, and Maharaj Yudhishthira actually left for Himalayas. He actually again entrusted Kripacharya with upbringing of Maharaj Parikshit. So this is all beyond our capabilities, but this is what the qualities exhibited by these great personalities.
Should we ask the questions later?
Yeah, questions will have to be answered by everybody.
Later.
Yeah. As I said in the beginning, I'm okay. Hiranyam gam mahim graman hastayasvan nuptairvaran pradasvannam cha viprebhya prajati deshati dhavet. Upon the birth of his son, the king, who knew how, where and when charity should be given, gave gold, land, villages, elephants, horses and good food grains to the brahmanas. So now, as part of any sacrifice is not complete until you give the, what you call, the dakshina, the donation, what they call, to the brahmanas. And why to brahmanas? That's going to be explained in the purport here. Only the brahmanas and sannyasis are actually authorized to accept charity from the householders. That's a looks like that's a scriptural injunction, where they can accept and who you can actually give to. So on all the occasions of these samskaras, purificatory processes we are talking about, wealth is generally distributed to the brahmanas, because they actually give the highest quality of service in regarding to the prime necessity of humankind. So what is the prime necessity of humankind? And here it says well-being of entire society. But if you look back on all Prabhupada's purports, the well-being of entire society is actually depending on well-being of your soul being taken care of. And the soul's main goal is actually to go back to and serve the personality of Supreme Personality Lord God. So essentially everything ties back to that. It's again spiritual enlightenment, nothing to do with the material here. And it's a well-being of entire society. It is not that I build big skyscrapers, I have more material things here to make my life easy for this body. That's not what he meant here. So we need to connect this to in the overall theme of our whole, what we are practicing. And here also the tethavit, the word tethavit is very significant, because you need to know, because you cannot give randomly to somebody. Oh, you see something and you react and give some money to him, because you don't know what he's going to use it for, right? And we've been told in, we had so many lectures on this. If you give to wrong, you give the even a knife to a wrong person, it will end up being dangerous for him and others as well. And there are so many incidents in our Puranas which actually exhibit illustrate those points. So we cannot, it can never be blind, basically, the whatever charity. We should be very careful. And what is the biggest charity we know? It's like giving Krishna to everybody. So that's our goal. So that's a charity. That's in that mood, if you do anything, like whether you give wealth or you support him in any way, and to raise him to the highest level for, to practice Krishna consciousness, that is a charity. So that's why this, though the wealth is given, it is only given to the brahmanas. The definition of brahmanas now and that time is different. So that time brahmanas like Krupacharya and Dhaumya and other people are very qualified, and they know their very purposes. They're not going to use that money for themselves. They're going to use it for the well-being of the people around them, around themselves. Again, so that the spiritual enlightenment, that's a key word here. So the conclusion is that intelligent men or the brahmana specifically engaged in the service of the Lord were properly maintained without anxiety, because now they know that they are under the protection of these saintly kings. They don't need to worry about it. If you give him $100 today, he doesn't need to worry about should I save it, what happens for tomorrow, because the king is going to take care of it. The king's responsibility is not, it will come again. What king has to do, is it for only humans? That point will be clarified further later in purports. So since they're going to be, they're sure this, the king is actually trained by these brahmanas, and the king is going to follow those good principles of Rajdharma, he has to take care of his praja. So the brahmanas are actually not in any anxiety. So they're truly brahmanas, because they're not really working for money or anything. So they can freely pursue their main objective of the life. So here the at the one point about Jata Karma is about is one of the purificatory process. Basically, when this thing performed, all the forefathers and the demigods actually of the family to come and see the new born child. It's their occasion to come and bless the child. So, and that's a proper time for distributing the wealth to the right person's productivity for the spiritual advancement of society. Again, this point is continuously made, it's a spiritual advancement. And since for the demigods and past forefathers come, you need to take care of through this purificatory process. Actually, the somebody says that Jataka Karma is when the navel pipe is cut and the kid, the baby falls onto the ground or in the hands, that's the time. It's not when he comes out, when you cut the navel pipe. So, I don't think people, anybody will going to manipulate for the auspicious moment to cut the navel pipe, but that's what the definition Prabhupada gives.
So,
question
please. Random question. Okay. So, Prabhupada says, Jataka Karma is
So, let's recite. Tamochur Brahmanastusta Rajanam Parasrayanvitam Esaihai Asmin Prajatantau Purunam Pauravarshabha. The learned Brahmanas who are very satisfied with the charities of the king addressed him as the chief among the Purus and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descent from the Purus. Now, Maharaj Yudhishthira is also eager because of course, he has to show his that mood of being a father, and then so he's eager. So they know that the Brahmanas know that. So Maharaj is what he wants to know now. So they are actually saying, okay, this this but child is definitely in that great lineage of the Purus. So and now they start talking about the qualities and what this Maharaj Parikshit is going to be, and also give references to the previous kings. And it actually doesn't end with my session, it's going to continue in the next session also, those when they're comparing Maharaj Parikshit to the previous kings. So let's go to the next, there's no purport given to this one. Daivena pratihatena sukle samstam upeyusi rato vanu gahartaya Vishnuna, Prabha Vishnuna. The Brahmana said, this spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful, all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon. So, Radhika Gopinath Prabhu gave the details of how Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb and Lord came in that size of a thumb and protected from moving around him with his gada to protect him, circling him, so that the entire effect is taken out on Maharaj, the child Parikshit who is in the womb of Mother Uttara. So here the word is Vishnu is very significant, and Prabhupada explained again Vishnu is nothing but Krishna, but there is it's an aspect of Krishna in under name of Vishnu. Actually, he does all these activities. So the child Parikshit was saved by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Vishnu. Vishnu is all-pervasive, and it's a Lord Krishna for two reasons. This is very important. This is what I think the main thing comes across is why he protected. One is he is the spotless due to his being a pure devotee of the Lord. So the Lord has this. Given this word that he will protect his pure devotees, so he has, so he is fulfilling his. You can say this: he is fulfilling his obligation, or he is giving true to his word. Because, and the second was he is the only surviving male child, male descendant of Puru. And then, but why does he care about even that? This there may be so many kings who that this may be true, and will Lord intervened. So, but here says because these are pious lineage of kings, the Puru dynasty. And Lord specifically wants the line of pious kings to rule over the earth as his representatives for the actual progress of peaceful and prosperous life. So it's like same thing when we say that this knowledge is, has to be transferred in that parampara system, and because that's Lord's intention, it has to continue for every person and every generation, the knowledge should not be lost. So he will make different ways that will keep coming back to us in the in that parampara system. Similarly for the kings also, this is a process. So the kings have to be continued. So if because very fact that the Brahmanas depend on king for that, so that they can do the right thing. If the kings are not pious and kings are greedy, Prabhupada actually talks about in the next purport, is spot on when he talks about that. It's like you can put it like a current affairs. So he says why the importance of these pious kings, and he also so that's the reason. That's the second reason Lord Krishna wanted to protect. And Lord Krishna, as we said, he is described here as Vishnu, and this is also significant because he does the work of protection and annihilation in the capacity of in his capacity as Vishnu. That particular aspect of Lord Krishna is actually performed as an expanded capacity of Vishnu. So it's Vishnu and Krishna for all, for us it's same, but he's just one administrative activity of Lord Krishna, I can say that. And here also the child Parikshit is actually described as spotlessly white because he's an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. So white is generally used for in the context in our scriptures with a pure devotion, pure devotees, great personality. So that's how here the spotlessly white means there are no spots there. And they just and why they come here, why, what do they need for their coming here is because they want to execute the mission of the Lord. They have no other purpose to coming to this earth. If Maharaj Parikshit had not been born and the incidents had not happened that way, we would not have had Bhagavatam the way we wanted to hear. So maybe Lord would have still arranged in a different way, but because he had said, since in the beginning we said Maharaj Parikshit is the hero of the Bhagavatam. So to the Lord himself desires the conditioned souls hovering in the material creation to be reclaimed, to go back home and back to Godhead. So when by sending them here and by his pastimes and by creating this transcendental literatures like the Vedas, and he will keep sending these missionaries of saints and sages, and also by deputing his representative, he will actually help all the people, because different people get attracted to different things. So he would create the variety we need, but still our goal is to go back to Godhead, and that is the purpose of these great devotees appearing into this world. Just to say,
Tasman namna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati nasandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan.
For this reason, this child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become a first class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. Now they are saying about, as you said, right, they want to tell these brahmanas are not ordinary brahmanas. They know past, present and future. So now they are not saying this to please Maharaj but Yudhishthira. They are actually telling the truth. And they know the purpose of why Maharaj Parikshit actually been born. So, and they are also saying by the fact that he is protected by Vishnu Ratha. That's what is important. So they know that the very fact that Vishnu protected, that Krishna protected him, means he is no ordinary child, no ordinary king. So that they don't need to do any anything further. That's enough for them. But still, they go and tell about what Maharaj Parikshit's qualities are going to be in detail. So, as Lord says, like for the pure devotees, unalloyed devotees, the Lord gives the protection personally. That's what happened for Maharaj Parikshit. And we talked about it. Since the protection is given by the Lord, direct himself personally, you can conclude he will be a first grade devotee of the Lord with all the good qualities. As Prabhupada is not saying king again. King is just a part, administrative activity. He's a first grade devotee. No matter what you are, you can be anything what you're doing in your administrative activities. The goal is you are a devotee. That's what the first great devotee, that's what he's saying here. And he's also, he's now a Mahabhagavata because he's protected by the Lord and is the Lord's devotee. He is considered the Mahabhagavata. And when such a Mahabhagavata takes birth in a family, we talked in the very beginning that all the past, present and future generations will all get benefit. And they get liberated by the grace of the Lord. just because out of the respect for his beloved devotee. The devotee is born there. So now all the demerits, whatever in the past are going to be in the future of the in the lineage of that great personality, Lord will make sure that they will be discounted and show them the path to go back to the Godhead. And they will be delivered. That's what he says. So Prabhupada has given us this mandate now. So let's be a Mahabhagavata, or at least be a devotee, so that we will do that service, whatever he intend to be. He is saying, oh, this is for Maharaj Parikshit, it's not for us. He's not saying that. He's saying, therefore, the highest benefit is done to one's family simply by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. So forget about, at least we should be somewhere. We cannot be like, here he talks about the Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama Adhikari in the purport. I not put that because we known that we studied in elsewhere. So the purpose, okay, he's not, the goal is yes, you have to be unalloyed devotee, but you have to start somewhere, and we don't need to worry about our classification where we belong to. But as long as we do our devotional service, which is again the what you call the purificatory process is specified for this age, and we follow the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, so our processes are well defined. If we follow that, and we have a chance to be somewhere in this spectrum, and that should be our goal. Because now, if you really like, I want to take care of my family, and this should be the goal. That's what he says.
Sri Rajo Vacha Ape Esa Vamsyan Rajashin Punya Slokan Mahatmanaha Anuvartitasvidyasasa Sadhuvadena Sattamah.
The good king Yudhishthira inquired, O great souls, will he become as saintly a king, as pious in his very name and as famous and glorified in his achievements as others who appeared in this great royal family? So Maharaj Yudhishthira is not just letting them speak, okay, say all the good things about this my grandson here. Not grandson, the son. So he's saying, okay, what this person, is he going to do? Because he has certain things in mind when he says the saintly kings. He has what the saintly kings actually done in the past, what their goal was, and how they took care of the kingdom. So he's asking very specific questions here. You'll see that in the purports. The forefathers of King Yudhishthira were all great saintly kings, pious and glorified by their great achievements. They are all saints on the royal throne. That's what it says. They are actually saints sitting on that royal throne. And therefore, all the members of the state were happy, pious, well-behaved, prosperous, and spiritually enlightened. Again, point comes to spiritually enlightened. And he himself is a replica of his ancestors. And Maharaja Yudhishthira is well known for that. In the whole Mahabharata, even in the war, even in that, when he cheated in that dice game, he still exhibited those qualities, what forbearance and patience, and followed the scriptures. So he wanted, definitely, naturally he desires the next king after him to be like that, not like his great forefathers too. So now he knows that from the Brahmanas, by doing all these astrological calculations, he says he will be in that state, don't worry. So now we want you to know more about whether he's going to do all this, whether he will be able to follow the footsteps of the great forefathers. And now Prabhupada explains the state, that is a monarchical state, like a king appoints his next heir, whoever it is. And then what is the responsibility? He must also leave an apparent equally qualified to rule over the innocent citizens. So that is very important for him. So he would definitely need, okay, I know Maharaj Parikshit is born, but is he capable of taking care of these activities? So that's because that's one of the Rajdharma, the king's activities, to find a good king to succeed him, which is totally opposite to what we are in right now. That's what he said. This purport I just want to read as it is, because we will all relate to this, what's happening. It's a current affairs. Prabhupada written so many years ago, but it's true then, it is true now, it will be true in future. So, in the modern setup of the democratic states, the people themselves are fallen to the qualities of Sudras are less, and the government is run by their representative, who is ignorant of the scriptural mode of administrative education. Thus, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with sudra qualities, manifested by lust and avarice, which is true. By every incident we read today is either leads to lust or avarice, right from presidents to sports persons to commoners. Such administrators quarrel every day among themselves. We can see now the latest incident of this thing in Karnataka Assembly, some of those things, what the lust is concerned. The cabinet of ministers change often due to party and group selfishness. This is nothing new to us. We now take those things for granted. They do that, they stay in power, they had to do this thing. Everyone wants to exploit the state resources till he dies. And no one retires from political life unless forced to do so. How can such a low-grade man do good to the poor people, is the question. And we are actually seeing these examples in Syria and other places, and even why Syria, every country actually. Unless you are forced to do so, you are not going to give up that position. Even at the age of 80, you think you can still rule. Even at the age of 90, you can still rule. And there is no end to that. There is no retirement from this kind of worldly activities for these people. So, is directly comparing that the good monarch kind of thing system which we had earlier, the saintly kings taking care of not only at the current time about thinking about the future of the praja, and versus the democracy, the so-called democracy where we are all supposed to be equal, treating well everybody equally, and supposed to prosper, and but that prosperity is related to material world, so it's never going to bring you happiness. As long as your goal of definition is material prosperity, these things will continue to happen. So we will not have a peaceful society. So Prabhupada is advising them, they should learn from Srimad Bhagavatam how ideal the administrators must be before they can be given charge of different posts. So now, what is our hope? Will they read Srimad Bhagavatam? Probably not. But can we preach in some extent the good principles with? Probably yes. So, and someone, even one of them picks up, probably will make a great difference.
Brahmana uchuhu partha prajavita sakshat ikshvaku iva manavaha brahmanya satya sandhasya ramo dasarathiryata.
The learned Brahmana said, O son of Pritha, this child shall be exactly like the king Ikshvaku, the son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. And as for the following the Brahmanical principles, especially in being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Rama, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasaratha. So we know that we heard about King Pritha, we heard about King Ikshvaku, and Lord Rama, we all know about Lord Rama. But here Prabhupada is, why these personalities are taken for examples, they tell you. We talked about the king's responsibility in the beginning. I said, is the king's responsibility only to take care of the human beings? Not. Praja means all living beings. And Radha Krishna Prabhu also explained this point. Praja means everything, every living being, including animals and human beings, king, that one. And they give protection, the saintly kings actually give protection to all the prajas and living beings to live and fulfill their terms of imprisonment. So, Maharaj Parikshit was actually an ideal saintly king because there's an example where he went to go after, when he saw a cow being slaughtered by the personality of Kali, he actually confronts him. He actually exhibits that personal quality, saying that he took the compassion and the animal has a right to live and there is a protection the king has to give. And it's not from any sentimental point of view, it's because anybody who have taken birth in this material world have the right to live. It's a very powerful statement. So it's very, the kings have, that means it's not an easy thing to enforce. If anything, because if it's a saintly king, especially these things happen in his kingdom, it's going to affect the king and the kingdom and the praja, everybody in turn. So the kings have to be actively pursuing this kind of thing. And Maharaj Parikshit, and during that time, that was the case. So So that's what this killing of animals for self or gratification, and this is all not right. Or even sacrificing animals is not the right thing to do, because they have the right to live, and that's what Prabhupada is saying here. And Maharaj Ikshvaku is one of the sons of Vaivasvata Manu. Vaivasvata Manu is the son of, actually the son of the sun god. He's called Vivasvan. So Vivasvan son is Vaivasvata Manu. And he had 100 sons, and one of the sons is Maharaj Ikshvaku, and he specifically prohibited meat eating. So again, that it's all relating to that praja, stressing that point. Praja doesn't mean as human beings. And we all know the glories of Lord Ramchandra as the ideal king, and the promise of maintaining and protecting the highest culture of humanity. One of the things we keep hearing in Lord Ramayana, the Ramayana is when Ram, actually Lord Ram makes a promise, he goes by it, he performs, he fulfills that. He doesn't go back on his promise. So even in the very, for material world, our eyes, it may look very trying situation and may not be right, but that's a word he has given and the word he fulfills. For example, when he kills Wali, because he gave the word that to Sugriva. So even if he says they were fighting and Lord Ram was not at all in the fight, but he actually took Wali out, because there are various reasons why he took out, he gives the reasons, but at the same time, since he made a promise, even if he's not directly in the war, in the fight with Wali, he fulfilled that word he has given to Sugriva. So Lord is specifically the protector of the cows and the brahmanas, and hence he enhances the prosperity of the world. So Lord Rama is like, even for every Varnashram Dharma, the Lord comes and performs his pastime. So Lord came as king, the saintly, the king, Lord Ramchandra, and then he actually set the example. So that's why it's called Ram Raja, and we always refer to that in the modern world, what they call utopia kind of thing. This is the last verse.
Esa data saranyascha yata hai asmaharasibhi yaso vita nita swanam daushyantir eva etmanam.
This child will be a munificent donor of charity and protector of the surrendered, like the famous King Sibi of the Ushinara country. And he will expand the name and fame of his family like Bharata, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta. There are so many Bharatas. Prabhupada explains some of things in the purport. And also he gives the story of King Sibi. So a Kshatriya king is proud to give protection to the surrendered souls. This attitude of a king is called Ishvara Bhava, or factual power to give protection in a righteous cause. That means, as Lord Ram exhibited this, because he is the Supreme Personality, Godhead, but the next lineage of kings, they will emulate, they will try to follow Lord Ram. So in that, they are Ishvaras, but they are in the Ishvara Bhava. They are not thinking themselves controllers, but they had to exhibit that bhava. So that's the mood which carries them in their day-to-day activities of ruling a kingdom. And Devarshi Narada also, now he talks about the Maharaj Sibi, why he was compared here. Especially Sibi is actually for his Lord, so Devarshi Narada glorified Maharaj Sibi for his great achievements, specifically in charity and protection. So I read the story of Maharaj Sibi, but do you want to go through the details, or?
Yeah, sure, please.
Okay, so hope if you are right, please correct me if I'm wrong some places. So looks like the King of Heaven and Agni decided to test Maharaj Sibi, and then the King of Heaven, Indra, takes the form of an eagle, and this one, I think, I don't know what the Agni took, it's a dove or something like that. It takes the form of
pigeon.
So he is about to eat, and Maharaj Sibi prevents that. So he says, now again, how this is enforced, it's all turning to praja, but even in that animal, there are rules. So he said, this is my order, I have to eat, this is my food. So you now took away food, now what are you going to do? is okay, I'll give the equivalent weight of my body of this pigeon. So will that satisfy you? So he's now personally took it upon himself. He's not talking about another animal, I'll give that. I'll give from my body. So king, the eagle agrees for that. So they put the, what you call, the balance, and then he cuts a portion of his body and puts there, and puts the pigeon on the side. It doesn't weigh perfect. The pigeon is still heavier. So he starts adding more and more and more, and this thing, pigeon is still heavier. Then he puts his entire body there. Still, then that's the time the Indra reveals himself, saying that he actually says, this is the highest form of protection and the charity you gave yourself. Because, you know, again, this will all relate to his not body. Doesn't care about the body. In order, he gave a word, he'll protect that pigeon, and also he has a responsibility to protect that kind of living beings, and is also exhibiting this great charity as well as the protection, both the principles. So that's the same thing. So he's saying this Maharaj Parikshit is going to get those kind of things. And I think there's also, is it, that's about Maharaj Sibi. Maharaj Dushyanta, you know, he was, in his childhood, he was so powerful that he actually challenged the lions and the elephants in the forest and would fight with them as little children play with cats and dogs, like a toys. So because of this, he's like a, we call him modern Tarjan. The rishis called him a Sarvadaman. So the one who is able to control everyone. So this indirectly is also telling the king has whatever the powers they had, they actually can control the animal population too. You and I cannot control, definitely, but he played with them like a toys. That means there's something, they have this higher knowledge which we don't have. And so that they can actually rule the animal kingdom also. We cannot rule human one person, even human beings correctly, but here is saying animals who also to be controlled. So he's saying that this Maharaj Parikshit have all this going to exhibit all these qualities in due course of time. He's in that great personalities which was born in the Purus, the lineage of Purus. And there is somewhere we mentioned about Bharata. And so Prabhupada says, as far as the Bharata is concerned, that Bharatvarsh is actually came after Lord Rishabhdev's son. Prior to that, it's called the country is called Ilavrata Varsha. And after Lord Rishabhdev's son, it's renamed after Bharatvarsha. But there is a variation of that. It can be Maharaj the Dushyanta Bharata also. That's also they're saying. So as Prabhupada says, as far as our sons we are concerned, it is Lord Rishabhdev's son Bharata. That's. But he says this Dushyanta Bharata is no less great personality than them, so don't use that kind of comparison. But he's just stating correcting a historical snippet here by saying that. So somewhere in the beginning, I don't know whether I highlighted that word. Let me see. Yeah, we didn't doubt that. His terms of imprisonment in the second thing, right? Every part of our body is influenced, and and here Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit is born, and Prabhupada is comparing this, coming to this is still, make no mistake, this is not a good thing to come here. So he says, to fulfill his terms of imprisonment, though all this stellar influences, all these things, in general, coming to this, people come here to complete whatever that terms of imprisonment. But that naturally brings that question. Maharaj Parikshit is a great devotee. How is it called imprisonment? So we'll answer that. So I kept it for the end. But if there are any questions now, we can start. Did you get any questions by going through this? Maharaj Parikshit, born here, and he's a great devotee, and he's in the saintly lineage of kings, and what his qualities are going to be, and what is the Raj, how a king has to rule his citizens. Those are the key points, these nine verses convey to us. Hare Krishna. So I took one point. So somebody asked this question, and Maharaj, His Holiness Rompa Swami's website, I took this. Maharaj Parishad was protected by Lord Krishna from the womb of Uttara because he was a spotless pure devotee. Now if that is the case, normally it is told that such an elevated devotee does not have to take a rebirth and that he goes directly back to Godhead. Why should Parishad Maharaj take a rebirth? Especially when I relate to the first word, imprisonment, and also why. We also have seen that. Did you remember in one of the purports it was highlighted? Why he took birth?
To reclaim the conditions of birth.
Yeah, so that's correct. If you go back, this one. So one is the Lord's desire, it's not his desire. And then they accept whatever the Lord's desire and they come. And the purpose is to deliver us and to exhibit those. That's the reason he comes. It's not an ordinary thing. He exhausted his pious activities, so he's come down kind of thing. They're all already with Lord Sri Krishna. They just come and go. It's just like for them it's natural. For us it's like, things like appearing like a very material. It's not. And that's what the Maharaj also stresses. So the birth and disappearance of a pure devotee are both orchestrated by Krishna's divine will. As I said, Lord's will it is. Much as Krishna himself takes birth from the womb of Devaki, the birth of pure devotees is under the shelter of internal potency. And they appear amongst us to benefit the conditioned souls. Maharaj has given a little more description, but the main point ties back to that verse in the same where we talked about today, 1.12.16. So that is the purpose of a great devotee appearing, and Maharaj Parikshit is Mahabhagavata, and the purpose of Mahabhagavata appearing is to deliver past, present and future members of his family, and also he's a saintly king, so he has to rule the kingdom and all his prajas perfectly, and King Yudhishthira was eager to know that and satisfied by the Brahmana's answers, and the further Brahmana's compare Maharaj Parikshit to further reference, give the further references how great he will be. What we only see half of them here. The next verses will talk about those. Hare Krishna. I hope I have not made any mistakes, and if I made mistakes, I'm sure I made mistakes. This is my first time, and I never spoke like this except for in the office material presentations. So please forgive me. This is, I know I made mistakes, and now the question answer session has Amrutan Babu set a precedent last time. It will be not for me. This is the reverse now. We can actually, if anybody can ask a question, if anybody knows the answer, please shine. Hare Krishna.
So,
Babu,
then that descends, you have to ask the question.